The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, that wonderful feeling you wake up with when you have to root for somebody you don't like. Here we go. Good morning.
What are you talking about, Douglas? You want to root for the Dodgers?
No.
Oh, okay.
Blake Snell.
Blake.
Let's go, Rays. Come
Blake
on now.
Blake Snell taking the ball tonight for the Rays, baby, in a critical, dare we say, an elimination game. Doesn't get any more dramatic than that, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly. The world is with you, Blake, at least for about an hour and a half until they pull you.
What
here
exactly
we go.
Exactly. Did he say, do we have the sound on Blake Snell? Do we have any sound whatsoever? Blake Snell saying he's got to get his.
Nobody has brought it up since. You know, now that he's this, because we're all rooting. I think even the media, since everyone's rooting for him to beat the Dodgers, we don't want to go negative on him until they lose. Then we'll go all negative.
Yes, and of course you're going to have Gonsolin actually taking the ball right for the Dodgers. Oh, my goodness, an opener. No, says Dave Roberts. He's not going to be an opener. There's no way. We expect to get five or six out of him. That's what we expect to get. You know he's going to get two. Next.
I believe the famous comments were something about, you know, if I've got to go out there and risk my life, I've got to get mine.
Oh, you're talking about
Blake. Y'all got to understand, man. For me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's – yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but – the risk is way the hell higher, and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?
Wow, I'm just still right now just kind of shocked.
Okay, we're rooting for you anyway. Just be quiet.
Blake Snell, take the ball right now in a critical game six, the elimination game for the Rays. Do you have what it takes? This is one of the things I absolutely love about the game of baseball. It is the fact that the pace of baseball, the downtime in between pitches, it actually builds. The ambiance, does it not? It builds the character of the game. It's one of the great things about playoff baseball. It's one of the great things. World Series baseball, hanging on every pitch.
Thank goodness it's in Texas to get any kind of crowd noise. And listen, this is not one of those political speeches on how you should feel about coronavirus. This is just a baseball conversation or a sports conversation, but imagine what Sunday night football would have been like with fans, and I'm assuming a majority of Cardinals fans, that might be wishful thinking, with the ups and downs of that game, and at least in the World Series, we're feeling some of that crowd emotion that you get, that you totally lose without it. And it's funny. I'm actually getting to the point now where I don't know if the players are like this. When I'm watching most football games, I am so used to having no crowd that when you watch a game where there are fans making noise, it's somewhat jarring. Wait, what is all that going on? What happened here?
Wow, I don't know if I'm at that point yet. Honestly, I don't know if I'm at that point yet. I think there's no way in the world that the Red Sea would not have been a factor, would not have actually helped the Arizona Cardinals in that situation. Then again, Seattle, every time Seattle comes down here, they have a huge following of people that come down here. And honestly, Paul Calvisi was talking a little bit about this, talking about this very thing right here. You know what? Honestly, that may have actually helped. May have helped the Arizona Cardinals.
By not running out onto that field and seeing a 50-50 split?
Exactly. Knowing that it's home. You're home. Let's go out and ball out. This is one of the reasons why, though, I continue to say base earnings. Who cares? Who cares where you're playing? It really, who cares what the circumstance is? Just go out. Ignore the fact you're a human being. Ignore it. Run away from human nature. Just
only you can say that and have it
and
make sense.
And ignore it. And go out and ball, right? Do your job.
You know, in all seriousness about Sunday Night Football, and listen, I've been a high critic of Vance Joseph, but it's even more impressive what he did without the backing of crowd noise to confuse a quarterback as good as Russell Wilson when you don't have the added stress of crowd noise and not be. I mean, Russell could have communicated to anybody if he knew what was truly going on in a game when normally that's not the case. There's no way you could have communicated in the middle of all that, especially with the rush of an over. I mean, imagine how loud the three buildings in America, Arrowhead, CenturyLink, whatever it is now, I think I got it right, CenturyLink in Seattle, and State Farm Stadium. That's incredible. At an overtime?
Yeah.
An overtime pitch for a chance to be a half game out of first place, how loud that building would have been,
right,
Sunday, and yet you confused Russell Wilson with 1,200 fans making noise?
I just think they were playing complimentary football.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What I think they were doing right there. I've come to a conclusion, Basinonians, honestly, right now. I just don't want to hear a player ever talk about complimentary football. I don't want to hear a player
but it's okay,
talk
since you're
about
media.
Complimentary football. If a coach wants to talk about complimentary football, I'm okay with it. Because he's talking about the strategic level. He's up here. This is what we're going to do. We've got to play complimentary football. Okay, that's great. But a player, I've come to the conclusion, this is it right here. A player, I don't ever want to hear a player say, you know what, we played some great complimentary football because, you know what, I saw the opportunity where our offense actually made a play. So, boy, it inspired me. I went out there. I made a play.
Maloney, will you write down next time we have a player on, I'm going to ask him about complimentary football.
Yeah, so please don't do that because it's just honestly.
And now it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Really, Ben?
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning is Cliff giving credit. Now, what is that? This is one of my favorite things about Cliff Kingsbury. Whenever something goes well, he'll tell you exactly where he got it from. As Bickley and Murata had their exclusive interview with Cliff Kingsbury, and they asked him more about the everybody look to the bench, get the play, and snap it before Dallas is ready.
It's a play we stole from Ohio State last year. They played Michigan, and they had the guy wide open. The kid dropped it, but I liked the concept, especially on the third and two when those guys come up and press, because even if you don't hit it, they're kind of on edge the rest of the game that you may pull that on them. So it was fun. We practiced it a bunch, and luckily it worked out.
I love that because it's a window into his soul in two ways. One, it shows how humble he is that he always wants to give credit to other people,
sure,
for developing something new. Two, it shows he's a little bitter at how many times somebody's stolen a play from him and never given him credit, that he wants to make sure he does it in reverse because that's the way it should be done.
That's good stuff right there. Just remember, though, Cliff, it's the player, not the plays.
Number four.
Number four this morning is some of the college football news that you've got going around. And one of it is Pac-12 football. That's right. The Pac-12 has announced their actual schedule, so we know who's playing when, where in week number one. And number two, a $25,000 retweet. That's right. As Lane Kiffin was upset because, and he should be, a ball nicked off a finger of an opponent. Should have been Ole Miss having the chance to recover the ball in the end zone.
Right.
Yet the referees didn't even review it. He was upset, but held his ground and didn't go nuts in the postgame presser. But then when a member of the media tweeted out something, he retweeted it to show that he backed up, blasting the referees. That's it. That was enough for the SEC. So they fined him for a retweet.
See, that's exactly something you'll do when you're 1-4. Retweeted. There it is. You can say it. We got hosed. Next.
You've always been a big fan of Lane Kiffin, haven't you?
Right. He's always kind of bothered me.
Number three.
Number three this morning is your NFC West update. As the Rams were a winner last night, 24-10.
His dad.
That means last place right now in the NFC West. Last place is above 500 at 4-3. There are only seven teams in the entire conference, seven, that have a positive point differential. 7.
Yeah.
4 in the NFC West, 3 among the other 12.
I love this. I love this. I love it. At the center of the football universe lies the NFC West. Oh, baby. A high tide floats all boats.
What is happening as of now in this division is totally historic.
Number 2.
Number 2 is tonight. 5 o'clock first pitch. ESPN 620 AM, World Series Game 6, Dodgers on a bullpen day, Tampa Bay Rays throwing their ace in Blake Snell. Rays win Game 7 tomorrow. Rays lose? Well, you know what happens.
It's an elimination game, baby. Here we go.
Number 1.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is the latest on the injury front for the Arizona Cardinals. Is it something they can get over in the bye week, or will it linger? We'll tell you about Kenyon Drake next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Y'all ready for this?
It's pretty boy football.
Everybody's going to have their opinion no matter what.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
You got D-Hop, you got Larry, Christian Kirk, the running backs, Kenyon, Chase. Even the tight end.
I mean, we have everything that you need.
This offense has the potential to be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Good morning. We're talking a lot of football on Blake Snell Day here on the Doug and Wolf Show.
How many people really want to see Blake Snell fail?
Oh, if it was against anybody else, it would be.
I mean, honestly.
I admit it.
How many people want to see Blake Snell take the ball and go 1 1/3, give up 5 runs?
Gasoline being the operative Punch. Term.
Give me 5, give me that which I desire.
Yesterday, Ian Rappaport, NFL.com and NFL Network with the latest on the Arizona Cardinals injury front.
I'm told that Kenyon Drake has a high ankle sprain, so a ligament issue in his ankle, going to keep him off the field for a few weeks. We'll see if this is more of the 4-week variety or more of the 6-week variety, but at the least he's going to miss time. The real question here is he going to be placed on injured reserve? It's just 3 games this year. Certainly something that would be possible where they would fill his roster spot. That is the next question for the Arizona Cardinals. But Chase Edmonds has been good all year, has been coming on as of late, so he is likely going to get an extended run here for Arizona.
I would have to believe that you do put Kenyon Drake on IR. I've never heard of a high ankle sprain that you're back in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's usually 3 to 6, depending on the severity. I don't know of one that you're back in 3. And since injured reserve this year is unlimited amount of people that can be on it, and you can bring anybody back off of IR after 3 weeks, it would just seem to be a no-brainer to put him on there. So it's a huge relief if they don't. To actually think he can come back in less than 3 weeks is huge. But bye week, home against Miami, home against Buffalo. If you are able to play him in 3 weeks, then he's back for the Thursday night game against Seattle.
Well, first of all, this is fantastic news because it looked really, really bad.
That's true.
When you think of Kenyon Drake, when I saw him get hurt based on knees and I saw him crying on the sideline, to me, that was not a sign of weakness, ladies and gentlemen. That was a sign his season was done. It was over. And he knew it was over. I that's what I assumed immediately. And he obviously did as well. Because I guarantee you, it wasn't crying because it hurt.
I can tell you, as with all the time that I spent on the sidelines with ASU, I would determine my feelings or my opinion on the severity of the injury, not by the guy on the table, by how many other people came to talk to you.
That's so
and if funny. And if a bunch of guys come up to you all of a sudden and they start grabbing your head, I knew he's out for the year. That I wouldn't say it was a flood of people on the bench, but watching it on television, I counted three guys came up to him to kind of console him. And to me, that was enough at the NFL level for me to think that he was done for the year. Because why else do you really need – if you knew it was only a high ankle sprain, you're not going to go over there to the guy and say, thanks for all you've done this year. Hey, we'll get you. We'll pick you up. We'll pick you up. You'll be back. You'll be back. You're not going to do that for a high ankle sprain.
Right. Listen, anybody who gets hurt for the most part, right, if you got a modicum of respect for your teammates, you're going to walk over and say, hey, bud, hey, you okay? Yeah, okay, good. You know, but you're not going to grab his
head.
You're
exactly.
not going to hug
the
him
head.
Or, yeah. you know, console him in any way. That's not – really going to happen right there, right? But it did with Kenyon Drake. So to me, ultimately, this is good news. The fact that you're telling me he could go on IR, miss 3 weeks, and suddenly you could bring him back in 4 weeks and Kenyon Drake's ready to go again? That to me, it's got me jacked up because as soon as I saw him, I thought he was done. When I saw the tears, I thought he was done.
Then there's the fire that seems to be created in the other person. Kenyon Drake's never whined about the number of carries publicly. He's never tried to tell everybody, I'm a number one back in this league, and the Cardinals don't see it. You know, he's never been like that at all. Yet you see, you feel the fire burning when after the game he's asked if he's truly prepared to step in and be the number one back.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, I work my ass off day in, day out, you know, since February. So, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to be ready. I'll be ready to answer the bell, whatever it is, whatever my role is. You know, obviously we got a creative head coach in Cliff, so I'm sure he'll find ways to get more people involved until we get KD back.
I mean, that's borderline. How dare you ask me if I'm ready? What do you think I do?
Yeah, exactly. I know. You know what? I love Chase Edmonds. I really do. The guy has got a warrior spirit, Basinonians, on the field.
I want a running back playing angry, don't you?
He walks in between those white lines, and he plays the game the way the game is supposed to be played. And what I love about Chase Edmonds as well, Basinonians, this kid is so smart. He is so smart. He's like having a coach on the field, in the backfield. This is a guy you can come up to and ask Chase, what am I supposed to do on this? And he'll be able to tell you, this guy has got a quarterback brain. He's got a center brain. He's got a fullback brain.
I don't know about that.
Is what he's got.
He seems pretty smart.
And Chase Edmonds, I don't think there's going to be any drop-off whatsoever. You think of the game he had against – you think of the game that he had on Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, and I can tell you right now, 7 of 7 on targets – for receiving in 87 yards. And the fact that he went out and ran the ball as well as he did as well, just a huge lift for the Arizona Cardinals against the Seahawks. So to me, I've got no concern whatsoever that Chase Edmonds is going to be the guy. I wonder who's going to be the guy behind Chase Edmonds.
I'd say at this point it'll be a group effort. I mean, they all bring something unique, and we like all three guys, obviously. That's why they're here, but I wouldn't say there's one that we're leaning towards over the other two. You know, we'll have a competition with those guys and see who practices the best and kind of take it from there.
How do you feel about that, Douglas?
That's your answer of who's behind Chase. No doubt Chase is the guy, but that was the answer from Cliff Kingsbury to the exact question that you have. I look at Chase and say, Chase, I admit I'm not asking you this if you're sitting here in front of me because of the fire that's in your belly, but it's a different world now. It's you are an excellent running back when you have limited carries, when you are never tired because you're not getting the bulk of everything and your body needs to hold up, and you are now on the front page of the running game scouting report. Everything that you think you know has now changed. So I love that he's basically in your face about, of course, I can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, I work my ass off.
I mean, boom, okay. All right, good morning. Yeah. But I still look at it and say, now, when everybody's gunning for you, are you still going to be as productive in the third and fourth quarter? Not mentally anymore, physically, when you have a whole game plan
sure.
built to stop you.
Yeah, no, it's the same question I have. And again, it's not a slam on Chase Edmonds in any way, shape, or form. It's just a reality. It's just the fact. Watching Chase Edmonds, thank you for that right there. Whatever you did right there, that helped. Chase Edmonds is, you know, the type of guy that, again, he's going to give you everything that he's got. You watch him play Basinonians, you watch him in blitz pickup. Boom! You watch him stick his face right into the fan. And that's not an easy thing to do in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. It is not.
Ask Ezekiel Elliott last week.
Especially when you're talking about the fact that you've got a grown man who's 250 pounds, 240 pounds, running into the B-gap going 100 miles an hour. Oh, by the way, will you step up and take him on, please? And use your face to do it. Because otherwise you're going to get your head kicked in. Yeah, Chase Edmonds is that guy. He plays in a very, very physical way. And because of that, I worry about 20 touches. I worry about 20 touches the way that Kenyon Drake was getting 20 touches, finally. Getting Kenyon Drake the ball right there. He's the only back that's over 200 pounds.
That's the other thing to fear is it seemed like, and I'm sure we had a lot of influence on Cliff Kingsbury, but it seemed like it took us weeks to get Cliff to trust Kenyon Drake with 20 carries a game.
Yes.
Is Cliff going to fall back to, well, Chase is the backup, I'm going to go back to chucking the ball all over the place and abandon the run game?
I don't know. I think he knows that Chase Edmonds, there are people in the facility of the Arizona Cardinals that believe Chase Edmonds is the future RB1. He is the future. Hmm. They think he can carry that load, right? So I hope they're right on that. I hope he stays healthy. But the question is there, and it does hang. Who's going to be the back that goes into spell Chase Edmonds?
The other question is, who is the best team in the NFC West right now, and who will be 4 weeks, and more specifically 8 weeks from now? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Just a little something I laid down out in the garage last night, ladies and gentlemen.
Wolf, is there a morning where you don't need help from IT, honestly? I mean, Mike's in here again. Ron, high-maintenance Wolfley, everything's got to be just right with all the settings.
Paulie, I have no idea what's going on. It's like somebody is riding my levels up and down, riding my levels, and I'm not touching them, as you well know.
By the way, Maloney's not happy with me because I went Paulie producer, and I booked you guys John Bloom because obviously you need to talk punting after last night and Johnny Hecker.
John
did have a game.
So John Bloom coming up, not exactly sure where. We'll shoehorn him in, and there's going to be a special breakout session to talk about a punter who put it inside the 10 five times.
That was funny.
It was huge.
It was! Come on! Really give the guy some due.
Unbelievable.
The NFC West yesterday.
It's why I say, Paulie, you give me a punter.
Here we go.
You give me a punter and a defense, here and we I'll go. Be in every game.
No, Doug was transitioning.
I hate to say it, but it is about the Rams. But Ryan Clark said something a little strange about the Rams yesterday.
When you watch this team play, to me, they're the most complete. Not as good at quarterback as the Seattle Seahawks, but outside of the pocket, Jared Goff is cooking, and Sean McVay is doing an excellent job of getting him where he needs to go. And we talked about that defense already, Scott. The Arizona Cardinals are balling, and the San Francisco 49ers, as beat up as they are so well coached, they are in the fight too. What's going to be sad is that all four of these teams can't make it to the playoff, but this is going to be a war of attrition, and I believe the divisional matchups tell the tale of who represents this division in the playoffs.
There's a couple things there. Number one, he's not talking about the Steelers, who are 6-0. He's talking about the best teams in the NFC West, and he says he thinks the Rams, of all teams, are the most complete. And I think he knows this, but in case he doesn't, if there's nothing wrong with the opinionated statement that all four of these teams can't make the playoffs because your opinion is they'll beat up on each other, but it is factually incorrect. You can have all four teams make one playoff because of the new added team. So you have one team win the division, and then there are three wild cards for the whole conference. And right now, it's very close. San Francisco is a game out of the playoffs of putting all four teams of the division into the playoffs.
And if the Bears, Detour Dan's Bears, continue to look like they did last night, then that's good for the NFC West. Because if Green Bay is going to win that division, then you would look at the Bears as a serious wild card threat, unless they go from 5-1 to now 5-2, and they just continue to plummet based on what we saw last night and that offense and how dysfunctional it looks. And Nick Foles now at odds with Matt Nagy and the play calling. And things aren't happening quick enough, from snap to getting rid of the ball, et cetera. So, boom, maybe that is your path to get every single NFC West team into the playoffs.
You know what I love about this, guys, is just the fact that the football universe at the center of it is the NFC West. That's what I love about it. You've got all this up here, all this football universe up here in the National Football League, all these teams, all 32 teams, ladies and gentlemen. You got all of college football. You want to know where the best football is being played in the center of the football universe?
The AFC North?
The NFC West.
Oh. It's funny, Paul brings up the AFC North. They're the only one that's close. The catch is they have the Bengals.
Right,
and the Bengals have one win and then a tie against the Eagles, so they're kind of the bottom feeder. But everybody else in the North is really doing well. The fact that your last place team is above 500 in the San Francisco 49ers, and how good of an organization are they to have this many injuries and still be above 500?
Have a positive point differential.
The point differential stat is really disarming for this division. There are only seven teams in the whole conference that have a positive point differential. Seven, four in the West.
Wow.
And three of the other 12 teams in the conference.
Love it.
That's it.
I did not know there were only seven
in the conference
that four out of the seven are the NFC West.
Look at that, Paul.
And you know what? To Ryan Clark's point, when I think of the 49ers, yes, I think injuries first. Number two, I think of coaching, the caliber of coaching on both sides of the ball. And for the 49ers to go into Foxborough and make Bill Belichick's team look that bad.
Worst loss in 27 years.
That is a compliment to the division and just what a challenge it is to try and beat a banged-up 49ers team.
Here's Sean McVay after last night's win.
We'll take it one game at a time. We got to continue to play well in all three phases. And I thought offensively we did some good stuff through those first three quarters. When we do get into four-minute, even if it is a little bit more conservative, we got to find a way to take care of the ball, you know, sustain drives and be able to keep our defense off the grass. But it was a big win against a tough opponent tonight for sure.
He says take control of the ball because the big stat that's driving Bears fans crazy is their defense outscored their own offense because of the Rams' fumble late in the game. That was the only touchdown scored by the Bears the whole game.
Yeah, that's why, to me, once again, watching it, you could clearly see the Rams were the better team.
Oh, they were the better team.
Yeah. They were in control of this game. They were the better team. 5-1, I realize the Chicago Bears, they have some impressive wins. They beat Tampa Bay. That's one. But you look at them and you could clearly see the Los Angeles Rams, they were the better team.
The Rams are motivated. If you listen to him, you can hear it in Sean McVay. Yes, he's always energetic. He's got more of an edge this year. Jared Goff said it, that missing the playoffs coming off the Super Bowl a year ago, that really agitated that entire team. Aaron Donald called out the defense 2 weeks ago, called them soft. And so they came out, and you saw the way they played.
Paul, that's leadership right there.
Yeah.
This is what I talk about all the time, right? The leadership to stand up and say, we're soft. The best player in the National Football League just called everyone in it soft.
I also think with Paul's point, too, look at Sean McVay. You go from being this genius, and let's face it, he earned it. But life went really well for him for a couple years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you drop to 9-7 and you're an idiot. Everybody's caught up with you. You're this, you're that. And maybe, even though we know the truth that that's not true, I think there's a little bit of a different fire of even himself saying, okay, how much did I take for granted? How much did I buy into the hype of myself? And he does seem like a little bit more of a serious dude instead of an exciting paper boy who had some gifts in life.
You know what impressed me and or scared me the most about the Rams last night is they fixed the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
The O-line was an issue last year. And before that, when they made their Super Bowl run, they had fixed the offensive line by bringing in Andrew Whitworth. And then they had some casualties and they lost some free agents. But to do what they did against that Bears defensive front and to protect Jared Goff and to get the straight-ahead power running game going, a very creative running game, not unlike Kyle Shanahan and what he does, because we know about Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and some of the receivers that they have, and Cooper Kupp looked quick last night. But that O-line, if they're intact, look out.
One of the biggest things that I think a lot of people are overlooking about the Rams is just how much more physical they are, to your point, Paulie, on offense. They are much more physical, running the ball in a north-south way with Malcolm Brown. You watch him run the ball. You watch his offense. Last night, again, 34 carries. This is the one thing about the NFC West as well. You have to understand this is a physical, physical division. And it's one of the things, one of the areas I think the Arizona Cardinals can get better. Be more physical. More physical at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. Their ability to stop the run and their ability to run the ball.
That's I wonder the if one Cliff thing agrees
I
with you.
I don't know. I don't know if he does.
Because I do, but not that
matters. He talks about it all the time. He does talk about it,
does,
being physical.
To your point, does this sound physical?
First and goal from inside the one. He gives to Brown. He rams it in!
Rams it in!
Touchdown, Malcolm Brown! Touchdown, L.A.!
Rams it in!
Rammed it, Paul!
Rams it in!
I honestly, the NFC West is at the beating heart of the football universe. It is the best football you can play on the planet. In the universe, it is the best football you can play. And you know what? That's great. I know there's a lot of people out there, man, I wish we played the NFC East. And I wish... I'm telling you right now, this is great because it forces you to fight or get out.
Well, you'll be playoff ready. By the time you get to January, you're going to welcome a playoff game against one of these other division teams.
Take pride in that.
We hate ever complimenting Wolf, but the fact that he does have access to real-life game film that the coaches watch, he sees things that not a lot of other people get to see. Who played well and who struggled? Because we're all excited about beating the Seahawks, but what's got to get better? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Rammed it in!
Just now, leaving the Octane Community Studios is a man that I still have to laugh at. I don't know if you're aware of this. I am entertained by scaring people. Scaring is funny.
Really?
Seeing your reaction to being frightened is funny to me.
I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, my 12-year-old daughter is big into scaring people now. I told her, be careful. Daddy knows how to scare you. Isn't that right, Kurt?
So the man that used to engineer Doug and Wolf remotes a long time ago. His name is Aaron Farnham.
Farnham, ladies and gentlemen.
And we have a door, the back door. The Wolf never uses the back door. But the back door out of this building, the window of the door is totally tinted. So if you're approaching the door to enter the building, you can't see in.
Right.
And
that's by design.
Yeah. You can't see in at all. Well, I knew this. And one time I saw Aaron Farnham approaching the door. So I grabbed the door, opened it loudly right before he got there, and yelled as I opened the door.
Yeah.
The man actually threw his phone on the ground. He was so scared. And then I realized, wait a minute, from now on when I scare people, I better look and see if you're holding your phone because I don't want to have to buy you a new phone.
Don't ever do it to me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't. I don't spook easily. That's number one. Number two, get ready for a straight right hand. I just tell you, when I get scared, the first thing I do is cock, if you know what I mean. Okay.
I don't know if we'll be using that.
You know what? Next.
Okay. Jordan Hicks, what happened? Where were you?
As far as Hicks goes, it was he got a bit of an injury. Not sure the extent just yet, but that's why we made that change.
I don't know for you, now that you're a new kind of broadcaster, road games, you're sitting there watching it on television like the rest of us, home games, you're right there.
Right.
I don't notice who's in as much when I'm watching it on TV. When I'm at the game, wait, where'd this guy go? Where's this? It was shocking to me when I was watching the game Sunday night and Chris Collinsworth says, and Jordan Hicks hasn't been in a while. Like, what? What's wrong with Jordan Hicks? What happened?
Right, exactly. I know, and Tanner Vallejo did an excellent job coming in as well of being very, very physical at the point. But you know what? There were a lot of different things that I looked at on tape, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you right now, the Jordan Hicks situation, I was surprised that Isaiah Simmons didn't get some of those reps when Jordan Hicks was out. But then again, I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. No, that really isn't surprising because Tanner Vallejo, of course, is playing Mike linebacker. Isaiah Simmons is not playing Mike linebacker. He's playing the weak side, inside linebacker.
Is there a chance there's a green dot issue too?
a green dot issue. There's a real good chance there's a green dot issue. But not only that, but I thought to myself again, why would you move Isaiah Simmons? Why would you do this? Because obviously they have not moved him around, ladies and gentlemen, a lot. He has not gotten a lot of reps. Now, I have seen him line up in the A-gap. I've seen him line up in the A-gap and bail all the way to play center field. I'm talking about the deep safety. There was one guy I saw do that. It was Vic Fangio. I saw Vic Fangio do that a decade ago, and I still was blown away by it. The fact that they had a guy mugging the A-gap who ran to get out of the A-gap and get into center field to play the deep middle. I was blown away by that. Isaiah Simmons has done that a couple of times, but you're not going to mess with Isaiah Simmons. You're not going to do it. That's what all the moves have told me that I've watched. How many reps he's got and where he's gotten these reps and how he's gotten these reps, it tells me one thing. They're going to leave him at weak side inside linebacker and let him learn this position just as we speculated that he would do.
We all know how great he looked on the interception. But he had very limited snaps. So I ask you, after having an exclusive look at the game film, how did he do in the other four snaps?
Yeah, he did fine. Yeah. He did absolutely fine right there. Listen, the best thing that I've seen Isaiah Simmons do on tape, based on needs, is stick his face into the fan. That is the best thing that I've seen him do. Playing downhill as a linebacker, a middle linebacker. Here comes the tackle zone. Oh, go get that deuce block. Go ahead. You've got a gap. You know where your gap is. Stick your face in there. Attack that thing. He plays downhill, and I like that. Now, he could be a little bit more physical at the point of attack, but again, he's trying to make a play as well, right? But he's playing downhill and sticking his pads on that guard or tackle coming off on that deuce block. So I love that, what I'm seeing out of him. Just looking at the tape, though, Hassan Reddick, if there's one guy right now that you go, man, I'll tell you what, that kid right there is playing well. It's Hassan Reddick. Watching him on tape, and it's not just playing on the line of scrimmage, Douglas. He's playing off the ball. He's peeling and actually covering running backs that are coming out of the backfield, tight ends. We know how much he struggled with this last year in particular. And yet here it is. Hassan Reddick is playing really, really well, whether he's rushing the passer, of course, and we know he's had success getting sacks and getting pressure. But to me, playing off the ball and actually covering people and doing it well and making open field tackles.
Only from a television view, so I hate to even comment on it when I'm commenting from the couch, but in the past, you would always see Hassan Reddick with 1.5, sometimes 2 false steps, and then he'd realize, I just missed it, and then go running back to where he was supposed to go.
Yeah.
And it's almost like somebody's helped fix his eyes.
Yeah.
That he, yes. Okay, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, just focus on that guy.
Somebody has. It's called Bill Davis.
Okay.
And it's called experience.
Yeah.
Those two things coming together to help him fix his eyes. He's.
Because you don't get that false step anymore.
He's really, absolutely. He's playing. Buda Baker, too. Just, again, watching Buda Baker play the game of football is a joy. Can I tell you that, my brothers, right now? It's a joy. Watch him play the game. He's engaging with the very essence of the game and doing it with a smile on his face. It is a beautiful thing to see somebody embrace the brutality of the game and embrace the contact part of the game and do it with joy. You can watch him play the game of football. He's interfacing with a game of football with joy.
I don't want to say this with any humor because it's a very sensitive subject, but one of the bigger moments in this game is when he passed concussion protocol.
Yes.
It's when he can,
yes.
How are you not scared to death of what happens in that game if they have to go that long without Buda? And he acted on the sideline like he's totally fine. I was scared to death. I get scared when you look like you got a concussion. I get scared when they put you back in when I'm a little nervous. Uh-oh, did they let him in when they shouldn't?
Sure.
But he proved that he was
fine.
Well,
you know they're going to err in today's NFL. They're going to err on the side of caution.
Yes.
So I think he was fine to go back into the game. I believe that 100% because, once again, they don't leave it up to the player anymore the way they used to.
Yeah.
They do not do that.
Who is it that you saw that needs a lot of work in the bye week?
Well, let me just say this right here. There were three guys that I thought needed to play better. Devondre Campbell, I think, probably had his toughest game. Okay, now this guy, please hear me well on this, based on his, Devondre Campbell has been great. He's been wonderful. I just don't think against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night that he had his best game. I don't think he missed tackles. He seemed to be out of place. There were a couple of times where he came down and filled the hole and missed a tackle right there in the hole. You just don't see Devondre Campbell do that very often, right? So I think Devondre, and I think Devondre Campbell probably tell you himself, he needs to be a lot better than what he was on Sunday night. Darrell Daniels, he's got to be more physical at the point of attack. He's got to be more physical, and to me, this is something that he's good at. This is something he's willing to do. But a lot of times I see him try to cut block when I don't think he ought to cut block. I wouldn't cut block. I don't know if the coaches are telling him to cut block or not, but there's a lot of times I wouldn't cut block on that, especially if I'm blocking in some type of counter OF, a run block. I'm not going to try to cut you. I'm going to try to hit you in the face is what I'm going to do. But I think he needs to be a little bit more physical at the point of attack. And once again, I think if you talk to Darrell Daniels, he'd tell you, yeah, I do. I do need to be more physical.
I was a little worried that bad drop made him play without confidence, being as physical.
And I thought, Douglas, I thought that really impacted him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it probably did. But it also reminded me, Max Williams. I'm telling you, man, when Max Williams comes back, I can't wait to see what 11 personnel is going to do. Now, 12 personnel, too, with two tight ends. But I can't wait to see what 11 personnel produces with a guy that's an excellent blocker.
You said you had three, so there's Campbell, there's Daniels, and?
Dre Kirkpatrick.
Yeah.
Dre Kirkpatrick struggled a little bit. Now, again, I'm not talking about the Tyler Lockett catch in the back of the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
That's just
Are you kidding me? It was just a great throw by Russell Wilson, a great catch by Tyler Lockett, getting both feet in right there. Dre Kirkpatrick, he did the best job he could possibly do in that situation. But I think tackling wise, I thought he took some bad angles and poor tackling as well. I think he can do better. And again, I'm sure these guys, if you walked up and talked to them about it, I'm sure they tell you, yeah, absolutely. I played a poor game. I can't tell you how many times that happened to me, ladies and gentlemen. How many times I had to be honest with myself and say, man, you suck buttermilk.
Coming up next, we've seen the amazing and fast chemistry between DeAndre Hopkins and his quarterback, Kyler Murray. But guess who leads the team in receiving touchdowns? Huh. Maybe there's a new chemistry there. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.